The arsonist has oddly shaped feet. Unique New York.
Bumblebee, bumblebee, bumblebee.
A La Jolla man clings to life. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Giant Mess, the super sloppy and silly sports entertainment talk show that covers New York Giants football, Mets baseball, movies, TV shows. It's got some comedy and life lessons mixed in for good measure. It is hosted by a giant mess. That's me, the real cinch, Neil Lynch. I'm a former college quarterback and pitcher, a film and media studies major, and how to waste $120,000 by yours truly. I don't do any of that, but I like to talk about it. So let's talk about it. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about life. What is the meaning of life? No. Super Bowl Sunday. This is the first Super Bowl Sunday where I didn't have my daughter. So I got to go to a Super Bowl party, if you can call it that. I mean, is three people a party? Yes, in my mind it is. Also, there's some not-so-fun bullying going on with my daughter. And it's not me, I assure you. So we'll go over that and how I handled it. So without further ado, let's get it started up in here. Let's talk life. We are now at a very critical stage in my relationship with the new lady friend, where I think we're about to start introducing each other to friends. I mean, she has already introduced me to a couple of friends already. I have spoken to some of her other friends via telephone, drunkenly. But now it's getting to the point where she's like, "Do you actually have friends?" And I'm like, I assure you, some of them might not call me a friend. That's fair. More of an acquaintance. But I do have friends, and I do plan on introducing her to them. So we now have concrete plans to meet the first of my friends, first round of my friends, I guess you could say. And it'll be a big test for everyone involved. Because am I going to be myself? Because I have a tendency to not be myself in certain situations, especially when I'm trying not to screw things up. But you can't think that way, right? That's not what won her over. It was my feathers. Remember from last episode, my feathers are what won her over. And so I have to continue down that path. Cannot look too far ahead. Cannot look too far back. Stay in the moment. Game face. So yeah, those plans are in motion. Those plans are set. So that'll be fun. I'm kind of nervous because, well, besides the obvious, it's on like Hoboken St. Patty's Day that we're supposed to go up and meet our friends who live in my friends who live in Hoboken. So I'm curious to not only see if the shenanigans are still going on, because I think they tried to put the kibosh on that multiple times. Just about every year they try to eliminate it from the face of the planet, and somehow it still rears its ugly head. And there have been plenty of situations over the years where I lost the power in my legs. I ended up in someone else's trench coat and nothing else. Broke the doorknob off my door. You know, it's just to watch two people have sex in a stairwell, and then they got mad at me. And they were like, you pervert. And it's like, well, you're the guys are the ones that are boning in the public. What's going on? My bad. So will it be as wild? Is it still wild? It feels like everyone, I don't know. I don't know why I think this, but I always thought like, okay, Hoboken has gone from part like in 20-year-old, 30-year-old partiers to, oh, now they're all older and married and have kids. And now they're all trying to raise wild childs. Teaching the ropes of the broken. Hoboken. So that'll be fun. Probably some day drinking. Probably a very nice dinner that will put a serious dent in my banking account. And then a nice little brunch the next day. It's a nice little weekend. So that's coming up. Next weekend is which I teased at the end of the last episode, a President's Day weekend. We get Monday off, correct? Early dismissal from school on Friday, yes. And I and the lady are going to New York State. Quote-unquote upstate. It's halfway up the state. But what do you call it, mid-state? You should. to me, upstate is like, no, that's West New York. Buffalo's West New York. Toronto. Yeah. So it's south of like Albany and Utica, I think. I don't know. New York State is so big. So yeah. Sugar Shack. Airbnb. That should be a good time. One of those converted shipping container homes. We talked at length about shipping container homes last episode, and now I'm renting one out. So I guess I'm in on the shipping container home phenomena. But it's a nice little place, nice little area, and it'll be a lot of quality time, which is her love language. So there's going to be all kinds of whole lot of love going on that weekend. Even though I'm not allowed to sell that. I'm not allowed to say that word. The L word. You can feel it. You just can't say it. Apparently. So yeah, those. It's the relationship's been going well. I went over there for Super Bowl Sunday, as I mentioned. And, you know, spent like a good 10, 12 hours with her and her daughter. Just an incredible time. She made this humongous spread. Like almost like a charcuterie board on steroids, that kind of thing. Wings, like both buffalo and the Asian teriyaki type situation. And like buffalo cauliflower, Takis. I've never had Takis in my life. I know it's shocking. Takis are good. And I think if I had them in high school, I was already pretty brutal with the Doritos and whatnot. Just pounding a bag of Doritos every afternoon coming back from school. The big bag. Not the little one, the big bag. So Takis, I'm all in on Takis. It was a good experience. And I made my seven layer dip. It's the one and only thing that I have confidence in making, even though it's I don't know. I got a little iffy there for a little bit. Because I made it the morning of the Super Bowl and put it in the fridge. I was like, all right, I'll let it chill in the fridge, you know, harden up a little bit. And then I went to go grab it to take it to her house in the Uber, you know, because I'm responsible. And I also am too cheap to pay for another DUI. Another DUI, Neil. Yikes. So, yeah, got the Uber, but brought it in the Uber. And I picked it up and it sloshed, like liquid going everywhere. And I was like, what's happening here? For those not in the know, seven layer dip, refried beans on the bottom. You got like a sour cream type mixture next, where it's sour cream, taco seasoning, and lime juice. Next up is like a guacamole. You can do homemade or store-bought. I did store-bought because I was crunched on time and I was like, I'll probably fuck that up. So guacamole, and then the next few layers I kind of mixed up. The recipe that I had was odd, like tons of refried beans at the bottom, tons of sour cream, tons of guacamole, not as much salsa because that's another layer. There's a layer of lettuce and there's a layer of cheese. The lettuce, cheese, and salsa didn't really cover the surface of the dip, and then olives and grape tomatoes. That also was in the mix, and it was like, this is not enough olives, this is not enough grape tomatoes. But I didn't want to, you know, it's like, all right, they say this is the way to go. This is the way to go. I also don't have an appropriate serving dish for this seven-layer dip, so I had to put it in like I thought it was called a pie safe. Apparently that is a piece of furniture. A pie keep, does that sound right? It's kind of like a, not glass, ceramic pottery type situation. That looks like a pumpkin, but it's flat. Does that make any sense? The top looks like the top of a pumpkin. So I put the dip in that, and it got a little, I pushed it to the limit. I walked along the razor's edge and I pushed it to the limit because this was overfloweth. Like the lid barely got on. It felt like it was a dicey situation, but, pulled it off, brought it there. And I think I had two scoops. She had a scoop, and that was that. Well, I also went to Trader Joe's to pick up a lot of the materials, ingredients, which was a mistake. Because I also had to get chips, and Trader Joe's doesn't have like brand name chips really. So, you know, no one is going to argue with Tostitos scoops. That's just like a guaranteed crowd pleaser. And they don't have Tostitos scoops. Instead, they had white corn tortilla chips, blue corn tortilla chips, and yellow blue corn tortilla chips. You know, and I'm sitting there with my daughter, because I had her this weekend before the Super Bowl. And, you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this is my nightmare. Like, to be in this kind of situation where it's like, normally I get blue corn tortilla chips, but I know most people don't usually like them because they're on the healthier side maybe, and they don't taste as good as the white or the yellow. I didn't know that there was such a thing as white corn tortilla chips. I think yellow corn is pretty much the standard. So I was like, all right, let's not get too wild and wacky with this one. Let's go yellow corn. So I got a bag of those and then these things called dippers, which are giving me hellacious heartburn. But yeah, so the 7-layer dip was fairly mostly untouched. So I've been having 7-layer dip at pretty much every meal since then. Today's Tuesday. It was Sunday. Monday lunch, Monday dinner, Tuesday lunch. Dip, 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 dip. I'm just like, I fucking love it. It's so good. I mean, was I a little worried because we had just left it out on the table the entire Super Bowl? All 4 or 5 hours worth of game that went on, just uncovered. I was like, probably asking for trouble, but so far so good. So maybe my stomach has built an immunity to kind of all the shit I've been throwing at it over the years. Or maybe it's just given up. It's like, you know what? Whatever, dude. You did this yourself. So I had a blast. It was a great time. You know, I got there probably 1:30, left at like midnight. It's a solid outing. When I got there, we had, she made like, mushroom banh mi sandwiches. I mean, everything about this fucking sandwich was good. From the mushrooms, she had like shredded mushrooms that she baked in the oven. I just Googled vegetable. Jesus Christ. Banh mi, sandwich. So if you're not familiar, it's a Vietnamese dish, short baguette with thin crisp crust and a soft airy texture, split lengthwise, filled with either meat or savory ingredients like a submarine sandwich. And the word banh mi translates to bread. So yeah, she put like shredded mushrooms in it with like, there was some Sir Kensington's garlic sauce and like truffle sauce and hot sauce and, you know, obviously, oh, pickled. She pickles shit. Put a bird on it. Portlandia style. She pickles it. Everything. Cool. So yeah, you got the pickles. Ob. Then you had like pickled carrots, pickled onions, pickled radishes. Everything pickled. So that was just one hell of a way to kick off Super Bowl Sunday. Very proud of that. Not proud of it. Very grateful to be able to take that in. On such a glorious day. And ended up playing a game of Trouble with her daughter. Maybe you'll be shocked to hear this. Never had talkies. I've never played Trouble, the board game. I've been in Trouble more times than I'd like to admit. But I never played the board game Trouble. You know, I was a video game kid. Played a lot of video games when I was a kid. You know, my mom always tells a story about how I started playing video games when I was like 3. I was in diapers. How I'm not like PewDiePie right now blows my mind. It's like, if I had just stuck with video games, where would I be in my life? I'm kind of scared to think about that. So yeah, I never played Trouble. I kind of wish I played more board games as a kid. I blame Canada and MTV. So played Trouble and I was in the lead. Your boy was in the lead big time. I think three of my pegs had made it to the finish. I had one more peg to go. The other two contestants, Milady and her daughter, maybe had one or two pegs going on. And then Milady just warped, like Star Trek style. She had gone plaid. Shout out. Spaceballs. So that was an epic collapse. On par with the 2007-2008 Mets seasons. On par with the Miracle at the Meadowlands 2. Just the wild card game, Giants-Niners 2002-2003. The collapse will haunt me for a long time. So played Trouble, which was nice. And then so my lady's daughter plays the bass guitar. She plays the bass guitar, she plays keyboard, she does taekwondo. This is like she's gonna get every scholarship in the book. If colleges still exist in 6 or 7 years, 8 years, who knows? Can you hear that? That was just my Jenga of dirty dishes in the sink collapsing. We got a whole lot of collapsing going on up in hell. So yeah, she's gonna get all the scholarships. So she plays bass guitar. She broke out the bass guitar. She just got another bass guitar. So she has two bass guitars. I was like, why do you need another bass? I guess you're not supposed to call it a guitar, a bass. She's like, well, for tuning. Like, I don't want to have to, in the middle of a concert, have to tune. I just switch basses. I was like, okay. So my lady got the first crack at it, trying to play, I forget what. I can't remember. And then I suggested Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes. So I got to slap at the bass a little bit. And I'm not going to brag, I'm not going to boast. You know, I'm not exactly butter on the breakfast toast, but I think I did pretty well. Like the dung, 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 dung. 8, 11, 6, 4, 3. 8, 11, 6, 4, 3. Gonna bound a mile. So yeah, I probably played that about 1,000 times. So fucking ecstatic and pumped that I could do that. I was like, now anytime someone's handing me a guitar or bass, I'm gonna be like, check this shit out, bro. Bung, 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 bung. Just keep playing that until someone saves me. So that was cool. Had a bunch of brews, bunch of brewskis, some mango sours. I think there was a peach ale mixed in there, a gingerbread stout that was like 9%. Holy moly. So that definitely loosen me up a little bit. And then we also had put together like a game for the game, like a watch party game for the game. So let me see if I have it here. Oh, there it is. I actually saved the sheet so I could refer to it. There's like 34 triggers, 34 things that can happen that will trigger you to do something. And typically, so what happened is my lady, she put like all kinds of different actions or challenges, wrote them out or typed it out on a piece of paper, cut it up, puts the scraps of paper in a bowl. So anytime something like happens during the game, then you have to pull a paper from the bowl. 34 different things. Of course, we had the coin toss in there, the celebrity sighting, Taylor Swift sighting, which is a whole nother category, obviously. National anthem duration. Guest performers at halftime. So those were kind of like before, middle, not necessarily football related. And it was all in an effort to keep the daughter involved, you know, and watching and engaged. And she did. The over-under on her lasting was midway through the third quarter, I think. And she lasted the whole game, which, so that's a win. That's another gold star for me. But like successful 2-point conversion, missed field goal or extra point, punt return for a touchdown, safety, interception, blocked punt or field goal, fumble, missed coach's challenge, lineman touchdown, face mask, horse collar, 50 plus yard reception, octopus, which is when the same player scores a touchdown and gets the 2-point conversion, flea flicker, unsportsmanlike conduct, pass interference, holding, offsides, neutral zone infraction, too many men on the field, roughing the passer, tripping, illegal block, unnecessary reference, hands of the face, illegal receiver, illegal in the field, additional grounding, delay game. So yeah, I think we crossed off a fair amount. I won the coin toss. Tails never fails. Did I win that? I think I did win that. Maybe not. No, I did win that. Tails never fails. Duh. The national anthem duration, I won that. A lot of people going for 2.5 or more minutes. Reba McEntire pulled that shit off in like a minute 10 or a minute 20. I was like, I forget how short that song can be when you just sing it. Like, it's supposed to, like, I guess how it's normally sung. Not like someone who's really trying to like show off the pipes. It's like, Reba McEntire's like, I don't, you know me, you know what I can do. I don't need to really hot dog it. But yeah, I'd say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Say like 8 of the 29 possibilities we pretty much crossed off. Like that one, like that's not a flea flicker, right? When Brock Purdy throws it back to Juwan Jennings, who then throws it to forward to Christian McCaffrey. Like that's not a flea flicker, is it? Because it's like it's technically a lateral and a forward pass. It's not a handoff and then toss back and throw. I don't know. So that was questionable. But we were all over it. The fact that we were able to stick with it and play it the entire game is pretty cool. The what made things truly diabolical is the jelly beans. So the daughter, a lady's daughter, is into this thing called Dare to Compare jelly beans. And I guess I think I got to look it up to see just exactly. Yeah. So I guess it is a game. Bean Boozled, it's called. Ugh. Anyway, it's a container. Oh, here are all the... Oh, Jesus. Okay. So it's a container. Kind of a purple container. Looks like it could be a monster container of, like, what is it called? Orbits. Not Orbits. What are the cubed gum or mints that you would chew? Like, that kind of container, you know? And so you pull it up, put it down, twist it, and it'll pop the cap, and, like, a little jelly bean will come out at random. And it can be each one. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So there's 10 different varieties, right? But each variety has two potential flavors. So the first one is kind of greenish with like brown spots, and it can be a juicy pear or a booger. The next one is kind of reddish, pinkish with red flecks. Could be strawberry banana smoothie, delicious, or dead fish, which Scandinavians might find appetizing. Next one's kind of a minty blue. It's either berry blue or toothpaste. That is maybe the least egregious out of all. Yeah, that's probably the least egregious of the nasty flavors that this one had to offer. The next one is white with like kind of rainbow sprinkles. That's a birthday cake or dirty dishwasher. Next one is kind of orangish with red flecks. It's peach or barf. The next one just looks, it's got all kinds of different colors, like just splattered across it. Tutti Frutti or stinky socks. Next one is a darker shade of red with red flecks. Pomegranate or old bandage. You are truly psychotic if you're putting that out there into the world. Old bandage. First off, second off, and third off, and fourth off. All these other things you could potentially taste or smell in your lifetime. Old bandage is like, that's some psychotic shit. Next one is kind of a white with brownish flecks. That's toasted marshmallow. Or stink bug. Okay. Then you have brown with white flecks. That's cappuccino or liver and onions. And then the last one is yellowish with some white flecks. That's buttered popcorn or rotten egg. And I'm here to tell you that I am, yeah, I think I had 9 of 10, 10 of 10. And by God, every single one was the nasty version. I don't think I got one of the normal tasty versions. Although buttered popcorn, as much as I love buttered popcorn, I don't know if that would taste good in jelly bean form. I feel like that's the buttered popcorn or rotten egg, it feels like a double nasty. I did have the old bandage, and I was, as I'm eating it, I'm like, you know, I've never actually licked or eaten an old bandage, but yep, this is probably what it would be like. I don't think I got the dead fish, so that's good. I don't even know if I got the booger. I got the barf, I got the toothpaste, I got the liver and onions, I got the rotten egg. Yeah, so maybe I only had 4 or 5 of these. But like the mastermind, the evil genius behind stink bug, old bandage, stinky socks, liver and onions, and dirty dishwasher. My God. So yeah, because there's like a ton of jelly beans, I want to say like 50 plus, maybe 100, and we didn't really have the brain capacity or the intelligence to come up with, like, you know, because there's probably what we figured. I looked it up. On average, an NFL game has about 153, 160 plays. So for each play, we try to come up with like something that, you know, if something unique or special happens on that play. There are typically a lot of penalties, even though there's not a lot. Like, so if there's a penalty, that doesn't happen every play. So yeah, we'll throw that on there. So I think half the strips of paper were jelly bean. So it's like, I ate so many fucking jelly beans and they were all gross. And likewise, same for my lady, and the daughter somehow managed to squeeze out two or three like nice flavors. I didn't have any nice flavors. The lady didn't have any nice flavors. And honestly, it feels like we each had about like, I don't know, a dozen jelly beans. What are the odds on that? So it's a sick, twisted game. It's some Saw level shit. And I think I'm okay with not playing that ever again. the Bean Boozled. Everything else was pretty cool though. Like one strip of paper was, you had to put the raptor mask. That was like the hot ticket for Christmas for the past, I don't know how many Christmases. You put it on and it's like there's a chin strap. And when you move your mouth, the mouth of the raptor moves. And when the mouth of the raptor moves, the eyeballs move. It's a pretty sweet mask. I tried to get it for my niece or nephew one Christmas and they were sold out. But so that was like, try to eat something with the raptor mask on. So I got a nice video of that with the daughter pulling that off. There was at one point it was like rapid fire, and there was like a couple where you had to do it until commercial break. And I don't know how this happened. We all three of us pulled at the same time. So I had gotten an acupressure mat from a lady. If you're not familiar, it's a thing called Google. Use your fingies and look it up. Essentially, it's like a mat or yoga mat with a pillow, but it has all these like sharp plastic spikes and claws coming out of it. And I guess if you lay on it, I don't know what it's supposed to do. I think, you know, I've never done acupuncture, but I figured because my lady likes to work it and twerk it and sweat and grind, that she would, you know, might be good for her muscles, you know? So I got her it for Christmas. I think she used it maybe once and she was like, never again. And so that was one of the challenges. So I obviously got that one. So I had to lay on this acupressure mat, and it had to be the Super Bowl. I say half the audience or more is tuning in for the commercials. I mean, they're not as cool as they used to be. It's not as much like hoopla around it. You know, they release them early before the game, so it kind of spoils everything. But like, still, any chance they get, they're going to commercial. I laid on that fucking mat for 3 years. There's no commercial in sight. It was like, there are no penalties. No one's getting hurt. No stoppage of play. It's just like, we're going to keep the clock running. We're not cutting the commercial. We're not even going to do the thing where we're like, we'll be back in 30 seconds. And they kind of just like keep the broadcast feed up. And then they have the commercial playing on the side. Nope. They didn't even do that. So I bled everywhere. And my lady had to do a yoga pose, a tree pose, for the entire time until commercial break. And I forget what the daughter was doing, but like it was like, I can't imagine if someone just walked in off the street into that basement and see all three of us doing some wacky shit. So it was a good time. I enjoyed playing that game, and I wouldn't mind doing that every game. No, every Super Bowl. Yeah, maybe. There wasn't a ton of Taylor Swift sightings in the first half because Travis, her man's, only had one catch, 1 yard. So they didn't go to her a lot. That's usually when they do cut to her, is whenever he has a catch or a touchdown, a big play or something like that, when they're talking about him a lot. So, you know, I think that's pretty much why we didn't see a lot of her in the first half. And then the second half, he had like 8 or 9 or 10 catches. And it was just like every 2 seconds they're putting her on camera. I dug the halftime show, Usher. Guest performers, a halftime show is one of the challenges or one of the, I don't even know what you call it, tasks. You had to guess how many. I guessed 3. The daughter guessed 3. The lady guessed 4. I think there were 5 or 6. You had Alicia Keys. You had Luda, which Luda was a guarantee. We all knew that was going to happen. And then you had who I thought was CeeLo Green. and turned out to be Jermaine Dupri. Like, everyone in the room was just like, oh, CeeLo. That's weird. I don't remember CeeLo playing or performing with Usher, but okay. And nope, that was Jermaine Dupri. And then I think there were two more. I think there was five or six in total. So completely underestimated that, which that's the way it ought to be. Every halftime show should be like, how many guest performers can we cram into this thing and make it extra special? So, and then I had the Chiefs in the under, which that's tough because, you know, my lady's a Broncos fan. And so she hates the Chiefs, but goddamn it, does she respect them? And I just hate the Niners. And I know my hate should have gone away, dissipated, softened, evaporated, but it hasn't. I hate those dudes. I hate the Rams and I hate the Niners. You know, I'll say this. I've said this before. I'll say it again. The Niners didn't exist. The Giants would have like four more Super Bowls. So yeah, I made sure that, and it was, you don't want to talk about nail biter, sweating your tits off. The under looked like it was going to hit the entire time. I'm like, there's no way this is going over. This is slugfest. San Francisco can't hold on to the ball. There's fumbles galore. This is a defensive-minded game. And then it's like 19-19 going into overtime, and I'm like, oh, boy. We're now at 38. I think the line was at 47.5, and I'm like, there's no way, right? There's no way. This is going to, like, no way, right? So Niners drive, kick the field goal. So it's 22-19. And I'm like, oh, shit. For whatever reason, I got scared when the Chiefs were like scored the touchdown. Because I was like, or no, I was worried because if they kick the field goal, it's 44-44. And then there's potential for going to a second overtime because, the clock was winding down, right? There was like the Chiefs were going to run it all the way down to the all zeros. And so I was like, if they kick another field goal here, there's a potential that someone can score a touchdown in the second overtime, and then the over would hit. And then the Chiefs score the touchdown on a beautiful play call. And it's like 25-22, and I'm like, oh, no, they have to kick the extra point. And then everyone just started storming the field. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's over. It's over. Just legitimately forgot the rules of football. I've only been watching it for four decades. So I'm pretty new to it, you know? So yeah, I hit the Chiefs in the under, but I still did not win that pool, which is unfortunate. You know, I think I had 22 points. The top guy had like 26 or 28 points. So yeah, I'm not, didn't make it, but it's good to get the win under my belt. What sucks is I went back and forth on the conference championship games where it was like, I thought if I was like contrarian, then I would get the upper hand on the rest of the pack, the rest of the field, which was just a dumb way to think. Like, Lions over, boom. Chiefs under, boom. That's all I had to do. And I didn't. And that's what cost me the ultimate prize, the pool money. So I managed to also bring over some nice gifts, some Valentine's Day gifts. I've only been getting a Valentine's gift for my daughter the past couple of years. So it was, and it was also interesting because the lady is like, I don't like Valentine's Day. I hate it. Don't get me anything. Seriously, I much rather prefer you get me something on a random Tuesday. And I'm like, okay, write that down in my old notepad. But I was like, no, that doesn't feel right. So I ended up going and ordering, some nice gifts, and ended up getting some nice cards and wrapping that. I got a nice gift for the daughter, jelly beans, which after what happened and transpired over the course of the Super Bowl, maybe jelly beans are not in her future. But she did eat a bunch before we got into the nasty jelly beans. You know, so the heart-shaped jelly beans for Valentine's Day that I got her, she got into those, and then she got into the, dare to compare, Bean Boozled. Yuck beans. So that was good. And I got my daughter a nice Valentine's Day gift too, which I still have to wrap and fill out the card. But yeah, so that was fun. Like, just I'm getting better at gift giving. not just like the actual gift, which I've always put a lot of thought and effort into, but like the presentation, you know, I like at Target, I got like the gift bag with the hearts and whatnots, and then like wrapping paper, not wrapping paper. What do you call this shit? It's like, I don't know, thin paper that you can put stuff in, and I don't know. So I thought I'd done good. I thought I'd done real good. So things are going well with the lady. With my daughter, oh boy, parenting is hard. That is for sheezy. The big story this week, this past week, was she has been kind of violent towards me. And like hitting me, punching me, threatening me. I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm going to bite your eyeballs. I'm going to bite your face off. Like, it's just stuff like, all right, take it easy, Hannibal Lecter. All right, just take it easy, Mike Tyson. So I was like, this is weird. This is more than usual. What's going on? And so I reprimanded her. I was just like, it's not nice. It's mean. No one will want to hang out with you if you say or do those things. Why are you doing this? You know, please God, tell me what's going on. And eventually I was like, is anyone doing this to you at school? And then that's when she told me, yeah, there's a boy who's been saying and doing those things. So I was like, all right. So then I went and I was like, I don't know what to do here, because this same kid, I've witnessed behavioral issues with him and firsthand. And then I vaguely remember her telling me about another time that he did something. So I was like, all right, I guess I need to, you know, I kind of checked in with some my peoples, my triumvirate, my council. I was like, what do I do here? And so I ended up emailing the teacher and CCing my ex, the mom, and just being like, here's what's been reported to me. I don't know if any of this is factual, because it is coming from a 5-year-old and they do have imaginations. But could you just I don't know what to do, but maybe you could address it. Maybe there's something in your protocol, your guidebook that, you know, helps you to figure out what to do here. And so she did. Which I appreciated that she took care of it. And, you know, she acknowledged that, you know, this one boy does have, you know, the behavior is not great. So, but then the next, like that night she emailed me back. And then the next morning after she talked to them, she emailed me to say, I talked to them. I think we got to a good place and I think we worked it out, but I'll keep an eye on the situation. I was like, great. But she did say like, Brielle's father. And I was like, you don't have to, why'd you do that? Why'd you narc on me? Like, you could have just said, it has come to my attention. You know, say, Brielle's father is upset with your behavior. It's like, come on. I can't be the only one that's upset with this shit. He's not just doing it to her, I don't think. I would hope. I don't know. Maybe he is. But, like, you don't have to keep my name out of this. Keep my, like, don't say any of that. This kid's going to have it's going to be like Kill Bill, where Uma Thurman goes and kills Vivica Fox in front of her daughter. And it's like, you know they're going to make a Kill Bill 3, and that daughter's going to come back with a vengeance and try and kill Uma Thurman. That's what's going to happen with me and this kid. He's going to be like, Brielle's dad is going down. Would have preferred that didn't happen. Did not like that. She was like, Brielle's father is upset with your... It's like, no. You could say just, it's come to my attention that there have been reports, there's the scuttlebutt. Here's a scuttlebutt. So, I think luckily it's been worked out. When I picked her up that day, I was like, hey, so, you know, your teacher informed me that she talked to you and the boy, and how do you feel? Do you feel better? And she's like, yeah. So, because I asked her, how do you feel before with this stuff happened? She said, sad. And I was like, all right. And then she was like, yeah, I feel better. And then she was like, you know, the other day he pretended to pee on me while I was playing. I was like, ah, this R. Kelly motherfucker. Like, what the hell's going on? So yeah, it's just rough. You know, and the teacher was like, well, they don't sit next to each other. They don't play with each other. And I'm like, well, okay, but they're still in the same class, right? And they're still like, it's not like they're on other sides of the world. And then they had the, like the Lunar New Year, Chinese New Year celebration. And I was like, oh, you got to, you know, you and your class, they did the whole dragon thing, you know, where they get under the dragon. And I was like, who was in front of you? Who was in back of you? And she's like, and she named the boy that had been picking on her was in front of her or in back of her. And I was just like, holy crap. Like, oy. But yeah, my daughter just seems really angry and upset all the time. And I think I get it. You know, she's in a really tough situation and having to get shuttled back and forth here and there. And with the schedule, you know, kind of being not as normal as it usually is. I think it's just getting to her a little bit, but it's funny. She's still to this day, after everything I've told her and explained to her, I don't think totally gets it still. It's like, she told me like, oh, you know, mommy and I went to look at a house and it had this, this, and this, and this. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. And it's like, I'm looking for a house too. You know, I'd like us to, you know, settle down, you know, not have to worry about where we're going to live, you know, and people jacking our rent and, you know, all that crap. So I was like, I'm looking for a house too. And she's like, you know what you should do? You and mommy should get a house together. You ever think about that? It's like, that's not gonna happen. So kudos to her I applaud the effort. She tries really hard to get us back together. And it's just like, nah, dude, sorry. That ship has sailed. So, the house search is just, although I'm seeing a lot of price cuts recently. So maybe like people are coming to their senses and they're like, hey, this is obnoxious. Like we paid, you know, 2 years ago, we paid $100,000 less for this house, you know? So I think people are coming to their senses a little bit, even though the forecast is even worse for next year. So it's like, oh, great. Trying to explain pressure to her, to a 5-year-old, is tough for me. And I've gone over this before on the pod, like just explaining stuff to her. I can't, it's like, I need to read that subreddit, explain like I'm five, Eli five, because I think that would help me better present these situations. She's like, what's pressure? And I was like, pressure. And immediately I'm thinking of like the David Bowie song, like ding, 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 ding. Then I think about Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice. And then she's like, dad, what's pressure? And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. I'm like, well, there's all kinds of pressure. There's physical pressure. And so that when I just literally showed her, I was like, I'm applying pressure with my hand on your leg. You know, I'm pushing down. That's physical pressure. And then I was like, there's peer pressure. And I tried to walk her through peer pressure. I'm like, there are kids your age. They're going to get you try to do stuff, but you shouldn't do it. She's like, anything? I was like, well, no, I mean, like, bad things, you know? And I just couldn't give examples because I was like, she's a little too young for the whole drug talk right now or beer. It's like, she's five. So that was a challenge because I keep using all these stupid big words. Just use little dumb words, you know, the red words, as she says, because she's like really into reading. And she keeps saying, so when I read her book to her, it's like, it's like a duet, if you will. Like I'll point my finger at the words. And if it's like not a red word, I say it. And then if it is a red word, she says it. So I'm like, Princess Ariel went. And she'll say to the, and I go, lagoon. Like, you know, it's interesting. So the way she eats a hot dog, we went to Shake Shack. She got a hot dog. She wanted a hot dog. She got a hankering for a hot dog. So I took her there. The way she eats a hot dog. So before it was, she would just take the wiener out the bun, eat the bun, then the wiener. Now she's got it so that, and you'll see on the video, but how to describe this in audio form. Picture like a corn on the cob, how you eat that. Just like, yeah, you hold it kind of like horizontal width-wise, not lengthwise, not out in, just like side to side. That's how she talks. She's just like, ang, 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 ang. Like the world's shortest sandwich. I don't know. Most narrow sandwich. So that was fun. And then, of course, she has, I put like a ton of ketchup on it. And so she's eating it that way. And so she gets like these red marks on her face that look like a giant smile, like Heath Ledger in the as the Joker in The Dark Knight. That's essentially what she looks like. Like the ketchup is going from the corner of her mouth up, you know, it looks like she has a big ass creepy smile. And I was like looking at her like, oh boy, that's kind of freaky. And she's like, well, what, why so serious? And I was just like, yeah. So that was our dinner date. I got a shroom burger with a decent amount of add-ons and extras and toppings and whatnot, none of which were that ridiculous. $13? What are we doing? Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know. You know, like the last episode, we were talking about misheard lyrics, like Mr. Brightside, The Killers. Another one that I'm finding now, because I'm trying to pay more attention to lyrics. Like, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep mishearing it and singing it and thinking it's right and then having everyone look at me and be like, I'm not, are you going to tell them? I'm not going to tell them. Beck, the song Loser by Beck. Since that fucking song came out, and it's been kind of a little bit of my anthem, I would say, I always thought it said, so I open the door. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? So I open the door. Nope. And I just accepted that. So I open the door. I'm a loser, baby. So I open the door. I'm a loser, baby. Yeah, I get it. I open the door and I know right off the bat. Yep. I'm the loser in this room. It's not so I open the door. It's soy un perdedor. Spanish for I am a loser. Fucking A. And then I was listening to Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name of today. Since that song came out, we're talking about mid-90s. We're talking about almost 30 friggin' years of me thinking this lyric is the way that I'm about to tell you. I thought it was wearing your badge and your trophy wife. Mm-mm. Nope. It's wearing your badge and your chosen whites. Trophy wife. Wow. Yeah, so I just thought it's preposterous. I can't figure it out. So, given all the hardships that I've had and challenges and obstacles with my daughter, I did have a major victory situation on Saturday. So after we went shopping, after I spent $44 on fucking ingredients for a 7-layer dip at Trader Joe's, came back. She's like, I want to play on the playground. I was like, sure. I was like, hey, do you want to ride your bike over? She was like, yes. And I was like, oh, okay. Interesting. That's different. She got on the bike, she put on her helmet, and she went a regular normal speed. She did not go at a snail's pace. She actually went kind of quick and fast, where I had to do a little light jog to keep up with her. And she went up hills. She went down hills. Now, keep in mind, these are not hills. These are slight inclines and slight declines. I'm talking about 1%, 2% tops. She was like, watch this, daddy. And she went down the hill, up the hill, cross streets. Like, it was like no fear. I went immediately after and I bought all the no fear gear. And I was like, you deserve this. I couldn't have been happier and prouder. I was ready to sell that fucking thing. Cause she'd only been on it. I got it for her fourth birthday. She had only rode it probably twice, three times. And every time it devolved into like, an argument or tears, like somehow she fell off the bike on training wheels. How is that possible? And she always was very intimidated by the hills. Now she's 5. I want to say, well, October. Yeah, she's almost 5 and a half now. And she's into it. She likes doing it. She rode around. It was the longest she had rode on it. The fastest she had rode on it. I took videos. I was like, I couldn't. I was like, this is an ultimate dad moment. Ultimate parent moment. Like all this stuff you've been working towards or you want to work out that you feel like, oh, this is never going to work out because you have a fixed mindset and you go to therapy for it. So that was awesome. My time with her ended on a really good note, I think. Getting back to the Super Bowl for a second, some things that errors and omissions. So some of the other challenges, right? We talked about eating with the raptor mask on. There was drawing with a blindfold on, which the daughter had to do. There was quote a movie, which I was like, do I go from some obscure quote knowing that my lady is not really a movie person and her daughter is probably not as, you know, a tween. So I was like, I can't really go for the like the deep cuts on this one. So I just went with Hasta La Vista, Baby. And somehow my lady didn't know what that was from and the daughter did. It's like, oh boy. She's like, I can't remember which Terminator that's from. I was like, and there was like T2 Judgment Day. Come on, read a book. Doing impression was another one. And my lady does a spot on Fire Marshal Bill impression, which you would, I think a lot of boyfriends or maybe a lot of people might be scared off by. I fucking love it. I think it's amazing. And talk with an accent until commercial break. You get to pick the accent. And I think the daughter picked British. And then, of course, we all started speaking in British. And, of course, all of our British accents were just trash. Really bad stuff. And then there was the one that I was like, I know this. I'm going to get this one. I just feel it in my bones, deep down inside my coccyx. Put on lipstick. That was on a strip of paper. There's just one of those papers and the entire bowl of papers. I pulled it. So, yep. And of course, the lipstick was bright red. I was like, you actually have this on hand or did you go out and buy this specifically for this? She's like, no, I have this on hand. I was like, all right, this is some bright red shit. And so I had to wear that until the commercial break. Yet again, commercial, nowhere in sight. All these companies paying trillions of dollars for a Super Bowl spot and they're not getting their money's worth. So yeah, I had to put on lipstick. And of course, there's a picture of that. And of course, it'll be circulated. And of course, it'll go viral. So looking forward to that. So yeah, those were some things that I just completely forgot about. My B. Yeah, so that's life. All right, so this coming weekend, big time, President's Day weekend, New York State, Sugar Shack. Should be a hell of a time. Hopefully we can get the Giants and Mets next week, possibly, maybe not. If not next week, then the week after. I don't know that I'm really dropping any kind of fucking knowledge that you don't already know. But I would like to thank you for listening and for watching. It means a lot. It means so much. You don't even know. And we'll talk to you next time. Adios, muchachos.